Holiness isn't something that just happens to you. A lot of Christians are kind of waiting for something to happen in relation to sin that remains within their lives. No, holiness isn't something that happens to you. Holiness is something that you actively pursue. Action.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, what we're going to talk about today and learn about, I think, is something that a lot of people kind of struggle to understand, because we are declared holy, but yet we're also told in Scripture to pursue holiness.
Yeah, and understanding that distinction is really crucial to the Christian life. I'm saved, I'm justified by resting, trusting, depending upon the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that He's done for me. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to growth in the Christian life, which is also the work of Christ by the Holy Spirit, I'm told to watch and fight and pray. That's the language of the Bible. Watch and pray so that you do not enter into temptation.
Yeah.
So if I'm just being passive about growth in the Christian life, I've misunderstood the precise point at which God is calling me to take action.
You know, today in our message, we're going to actually take a look at what holiness is not, and that's one way that we can begin to define that, and also take a look at exactly what holiness is and how God has called us to that. So if you can, hope you open your Bible, join us in the book of 1 Peter. We're looking at chapter 1, verses 13 through the first couple of verses of chapter 2. So join us there as we begin this message, New Life.
I hope you'll keep your Bibles open at 1 Peter. We're discovering that more than any other book in the Bible, 1 Peter sets out the experience of the Christian life. This series, as we go through the letter of 1 Peter, is not so much about what Christians believe as about how Christians live. It is God's manual for discipleship. And we saw last time that Peter begins by explaining what God has done in the life of every Christian believer. Chapter 1 and verse 3, you've been given new birth. This means that there is a desire and a capacity to live a new life that God has implanted in you by the power of the Spirit. The power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ has touched you, and this is what has brought you into the living hope of a new life that you have already begun. Then we saw that the Christian is kept by God's power. Belonging to Jesus Christ, he holds an inheritance, as it were, in one hand for you. He holds you for the inheritance in the other hand. And as it were, on the last day, he will bring what he holds in his two hands wonderfully together. You're kept by the power of God. You will go through suffering and grief and all kinds of trials, Peter said in verse 7. But remember that although God has never promised us a pain-free life, it will be the case that these hardest experiences of life will show that your faith is authentic. And that is something of supreme value because, of course, that faith will last for eternity. So if you think or thought that being a Christian was that you'd said a prayer or you had made some commitment to follow Jesus, try your best to live a new life and so forth, Peter is saying to you, no, that's just a tiny part of what is going on. God is at work in your life. This is true of every Christian. And when we recognize what God is doing in our lives, then as Peter said in verse 8, we will be filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Well, that's what we learned last week. It took a lot longer than that to learn it, but there you go. Now, today we take up the story at verse 13. The new birth leads to a new life. And Peter is going to describe, and we're going to see today, what this life looks like. Our key verse is verse 15. Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Holiness is the second key that Peter gives us for unlocking the Christian life. Now, I wonder what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word holy or holiness. You know, we hear phrases like, he's a holy Joe, or we hear people talk about holy rollers, or a holier-than-thou attitude. Well, if any of these things come to your mind, then you will certainly not find the idea of pursuing holiness to be very attractive. In my reading just in the last week, I came across a list of things that people associate with the word holiness. And here's the list, just to run through it. Thinness, hollow-eyed gauntness, beards, sandals, long robes, stone cells, no sex, no jokes, hair shirts, would you believe, frequent cold baths, fasting, hours of prayer, wild rocky deserts, getting up at 4 a.m., clean fingernails. I mean, can you believe it that that was the first thing that came to somebody's mind when the word holiness was said? Stained glass, self-humiliation. Now, if any of that or all of that is running around in your mind when you hear the word holy, then you certainly will not find the idea of pursuing holiness to be remotely attractive, unless, of course, you are a very unusual person indeed. So it will come surely as a great relief for you to know that holiness in the Bible has nothing whatever to do with any or all of these things. God does use this word in the Bible, so let's understand what God means by it, what the Scripture intends us to understand. Let's put these things out of our minds and understand what God is saying to us. The root meaning of the word holy is simply to cut, to sever, or to separate. And you may recall we touched on this last month when I pointed out in a rather gruesome illustration that if I were to cut my thumb off while chopping carrots or something at lunchtime today, then I would be able to hold the thumb up and say, this thumb is holy. And what I would mean by that is I would be saying the thumb is severed. It is apart from the body. It is disconnected. It is a thing to itself. It is not bound up with anything else. Now, when the Bible says God is holy, it's saying very simply that God stands alone, that God is not bound up with everything else, that the God of the Bible is not some product of Judeo-Christian culture. He is the creator. He is not to be confused with the creation. He is separate, apart, distinct, holy other. Now come to verse 15 again. He who called you, God is holy. And so it's for that reason that we are to be holy in all that we do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. In other words, Peter says, God has called you to a new and different life that clearly reflects the character of the Holy One. This is the life you were born to. This is the life in which you are now to grow. It is a life that will be so clearly identified with God that it will be distinct, cut off, as it were, from the prevailing values of this world. For if you live a life that reflects God's character in this world, you will be marching to the beat of a different drum. Holiness, therefore, involves us being cut off, separate, distinct from the prevailing values of this world in order to live a life that is patterned after the character of the Holy One who has called us and equipped us to live this life. Now, if you think about it, in anything that is new, there is a parting from the old in order to engage with the new. When a student graduates high school, you leave high school in order to go to college. When a couple get married, they leave father and mother in order to cleave together. When God calls you to a holy life, what that means is that there are sins that you must leave behind in order to pursue this life that is patterned after the character of God. Now, Peter's going to explain for us in this passage how holiness works out in life. And there are really three dimensions, three spheres in which it is worked out. If you want a simple way of remembering it, they are the fight, the future, and the family. The fight, the future, and the family. Let's see how Peter spells it out. First, the fight, verse 13 and 14. He calls us to take action against sin in our lives. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Verse 13, take action against sin in your life. Therefore, prepare your minds for action.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called New Life. Now, we're pausing right here for just a moment, but we'll get back to the message. So stay with us. If you ever miss a broadcast, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. And in addition to listening to this daily program, you'll find our weekend program, our daily devotional that you can both read and listen to, and a lot of resources to help you grow in your relationship with Christ. Again, our website is openthebible.org. If you joined us a bit late, we're in 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's get back to the message. Again, here is Pastor Colin.
Now, whenever you see the word therefore, as you see it there in verse 13, it's always a good idea to look and see what it's there for. And obviously, therefore, is a connecting word that tells us that what is coming is directly related to what has just been said. What has just been said is that you're born again in the mercy of God and the power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ has touched your life. Now Peter says, in the light of that, therefore, prepare your minds for action. 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 Now think about that word. Holiness isn't something that just happens to you. Now, a lot of Christians are kind of waiting for something to happen in relation to sin that remains within their lives. No, holiness isn't something that happens to you. Holiness is something that you actively pursue. Action. God calls you to cut off sin in your life as you pursue this new life that reflects the character of God. Now, Peter describes what this looks like in three ways. First, in verse 13, be self-controlled. I love the simplicity of that. That couldn't be clearer, could it? Be self-controlled. Be self-controlled on the internet. Be self-controlled with your credit card. Be self-controlled in relation to eating and drinking. Be self-controlled when people around you may be using foul language or putting pressure on you to do something that you know to be wrong. Now, some of us may immediately react in our minds by saying, well, you know, it's one thing to say that, it's another thing to do it. After all, temptation is powerful. The power of habit is very strong. We hear a great deal today, don't we, about addictions, patterns of ingrained response that over a period of time become compulsive within a person. And here we're opening the Bible, and Peter says, be self-controlled. Now, you see, a lot of us immediately react to that. Somewhere in our minds, we're thinking, well, of course, he was writing in the first century, and he didn't know anything about modern psychology and so forth. This is a bit naive. It is a bit simplistic. Now, if that's what you're tempted to think, remember, that is why the therefore in verse 13 is so important. You see, if being a Christian was just a matter of you making a commitment and trying harder, if that's all it was, then self-control would be, for some people, impossible. Because the power of temptation is obviously much stronger than any commitment that you can make. But remember that what Peter has been saying is that you have been born again. The life of God is in you. The power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ has come to you, and this is the thing that gives you living hope of a different life. So if you think that Peter is psychologically naive, I want to suggest to you that you might be underestimating the power of the Holy Spirit. See, let me ask every Christian in this congregation to focus on this one question for a moment. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit lives in you? Let me ask it so that we can answer aloud. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit lives in you?
Yes.
Okay. Now, that's the kind of clarity that every Christian needs. Because if you're in doubt over that question, you will never know victory in the fight against temptation. This is what Peter has been teaching. The power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ has come to you. Be absolutely clear about that. You have power. And we're not talking about the power of positive thinking. You had that before you were a Christian. You can have that irrespective of whether you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ coming to you by the Holy Spirit. And you as a Christian have living hope of getting out of debt through the power of the risen Christ. That's why you can have self-control over your credit card. Because the power of the risen Christ is in you. You have living hope of getting free from pornography because the power of the risen Christ is in you. You have living hope of overcoming the power of alcohol for some who really struggle with a bridgehead, a hold that that has in some lives. Why? Because the risen power of Jesus Christ lives in you. You have living hope of getting control of your tongue and of your temper, even on a sports field when you lose. Why? Because the power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ lives in you. God has put you in a position where you can say no to sin. You can do that. And Peter says, prepare your minds for action. That's what we've got to do right now. You see, in this coming week, you're going to go into the shopping mall, you're going to see something that you can't afford, and you're going to have a credit card in your pocket. In this coming week, you're going to be on the net. It's going to occur to you, there's going to be some pop-up ad or something that will invite you to go someplace you shouldn't go. In this coming week, you will drive past a place that has been a source of temptation to you. Now, prepare your mind for action. Be self-controlled. Secondly, verse 14, he puts it another way. Do not conform to evil desires that you had while you lived in ignorance. Now, notice he's not saying that you won't have evil desires. What he is saying is that you shouldn't conform to evil desires. Be a nonconformist, Peter is saying. He says the same thing in chapter 2 and verse 11. I urge you to abstain from sinful desires that war against your soul. There are sinful desires that war against your soul. Just abstain from them. Have nothing to do with them. There is a war going on inside the soul of every Christian. That's normal. So don't be alarmed or disturbed when you experience it. You see, sometimes a Christian will have some dreadful thought or impulse or desire, and you say, my goodness, can I even be a Christian that I thought that or that I felt that? Well, Peter is saying that there are evil desires. Don't be surprised or alarmed when you're tempted. What you have to know is what to do at that time, and what you have to do is don't conform to that desire. I love the story of the new Christian who was baptized by immersion in water. The pastor pushed him right under the water, brought him up, and he was so full of joy, and his face was radiant. And he said, Pastor, now I will not be tempted anymore. And the pastor said, I'm afraid that for that blessing, I would have had to hold you under for a bit longer. Now, don't be surprised or alarmed when you're tempted. Evil desires may dwell in you. We do live this Christian life in the body. God says, don't conform to them. Don't do what they're telling you to do. Every time you say yes to an evil desire, its power in you increases. Every time you say no to an evil desire, its power in you weakens. Now, if you have been giving in, let's take one example from our four, say to buying on impulse, things that you can't afford and that you don't need. And that's been a pattern that's become ingrained, and you've run up huge debts as a result. But that's just the way it's been for you. Then when you go into a store and you see something that you'd like, but you can't afford, the impulse to get your credit card out will be very, very strong indeed. But what you need to know is that God has put you in the position where you can say no. Don't conform to that desire. In the old life, you used to be pushed around by all these desires at work within you. But in the new life, God has put you in a position where you are able to exercise control over the desires. That's freedom. Who wants to spend their life being pushed around by a bunch of uncontrolled desires that are going on inside of you? God brings you to a position where that will no longer be the case, where you are in a position of mastering the desires that are at work within you. Now, the Bible's teaching about sin really is very, very simple. And it can really be summed up in three words. Now, here's the Bible's teaching on sin in three words. Don't do it. That is the Bible's teaching on sin. And don't muddy the waters of biblical clarity. You see, so quickly we come in with all this, oh, but I can't help it. Listen, if you can't help it, here's what you need to do. You need to come to Jesus Christ to be born again so that the power of his resurrection life will be at work within you, and then you will be able to do something about it. And if you have come to Jesus Christ and you are born again and the power of his risen life is at work in you, don't go through life saying, I can't help it. Don't conform to evil desires. God's put you in a position where you're able to make the right decision. Now, you may not always have done that in the past. We may have failed to do that many times, but please don't say it can't be done. Now, here's the fight. Here's what it looks like. And it is a raging battle. Be self-controlled. Do not conform to evil desires. And he puts it one more way in chapter 2 and verse 1. Get rid of whatever holds you back. See that in chapter 2, verse 1? Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Rid yourself of
them. What a great truth that we're learning about in today's message. God has given us the power to live a holy life. Because if we are in Christ, His Spirit is in us. And so we can say no to sin and say yes to godliness. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message, New Life. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, or you want to go back and listen to any other message in the series, come to our website and listen online. It's openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you Pastor Colin's book, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And Colin, the book is based on 1 Peter, but who's the book written for?
Well, if you have recently come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is certainly a book that was written for you. Or perhaps you feel that you need to get grounded in the basics of the Christian life. What does it mean to be a Christian and to live the Christian life? Well, you know, there's a whole book in the New Testament that was written really to answer that question. And it's the letter of 1 Peter. It's just 5 chapters, so it's quite short. But what's significant about it is that while some of the other letters in the New Testament were written to particular churches, like the letter to Romans or Corinthians or Ephesians and so forth, this letter was just written to believers in general who were scattered in lots of different places. And by definition, because this is the early church, they were all new believers. And what Peter is doing in this letter is helping them to get established in the faith. It's a wonderful letter. And this book just takes a person through the basics of the Christian faith from the first letter of Peter. And I hope that it's going to be really helpful to many, Steve.
Well, the book is called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And it is our thank you gift to you as you give a financial gift of any amount this month. You can find out more or give online by coming to our website, openthebible.org, or call us at 877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or again, openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. Do you have a dream job, a great marriage, but you still have a growing feeling of emptiness inside? Discover why that may be next time on Open the Bible.